Turn with me, if you would, back to Mark 12. Mark 12, I want to read verses 41 to 44 again. Mark 12, 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. This is a sweet passage of Scripture. This really is. Everything about it. Start to finish. This is a very precious portion of Scripture. Our message this morning has two parts. I want you to know that. I want that to register. We have two parts, okay? Let's look at the first part, and then we're going to look at the second part. All right? First, I want us to see What? And then I want us to see why. I want us to see what the scenario is, okay? And then I want us to see why the scenario is. Now, we said last Sunday morning, you don't have to give a dime to be saved. You remember that? I had our brother read three of the verses we looked at last Sunday morning to remind us that in verse 40, he was condemning the scribes. He was condemning religion. These men who stand up and it says devour widows' houses. You better give your money. You don't have to give a dime. Not to be saved. Not to be saved. Mercy is great. Grace is free. It's free. It's a free gift. Absolutely free. We can't buy salvation. We just cannot buy salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. It's of the Lord. But God does move on the hearts of His people. He really does. And He produces a love and a thankfulness in the hearts of His people, doesn't He? When grace comes, love comes. Thankfulness comes. And as we have been given to, we have a heart to give. And we do, don't we? We all do. It's not a tithe, is it? It's not a tithe. Tithing stifles God's people. It stifles God's people. They come up with this number, you know, based on their starting point. It stifles God's people. God's people don't just give what they have to give. They give all they can. They give all they can. And this is what they're saying in their giving. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Is that not our motivation? Isn't that the motivation? Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. We have a heart for His gospel, don't we? This is His gospel. And He's given it to us, and we call it with the Apostle Paul our gospel. And we have a heart for it, don't we? We have a heart for His ministry. We have a heart to promote and support any other place where His truth is preached. Don't we? We really do. We don't give anything to earn anything. We give because of everything He's already earned for us. We give because of what Christ has already given to us. We do. God's people do. It's because of what Christ has already done for us. It's all for Christ's sake. Every bit of it. All for Christ's sake. We don't have to give. That's what I want us to understand first. We don't have to give. We love it. We love it. Now, we have a little box in the foyer, don't we? We don't pass the plate here. We have a little box back here in the foyer. I'm going to show you where that little box came from, all right? Turn with me over to 2 Chronicles 24. Second Chronicles 24, verse 1 says, Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Zibiah of Beersheba. And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. And Jehoiada took for him two wives, and he begat sons and daughters. And it came to pass after this that Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord. He started looking at the house of the Lord, and it was in shambles. And he was minded to repair the house of the Lord. And he gathered together the priest and the Levites and said to them, Go out unto the cities of Judah and gather of all Israel money to repair the house of your God from year to year. And to see that you hasten the matter, howbeit the Levites hastened it not. So Joash gathered this priest, Jehoiada, and these other Levites, and he said, I want you to go out into Judah, and I want you to tell them that we're going to gather the money that God commanded Moses to tell us to give, and we're going to rebuild and fix up God's temple. Verse 6. The Levites didn't do it, though. Verse 6, And the king called for Jehoiada the chief, and said unto him, Why hast thou not required of the Levites to bring in out of Judah and out of Jerusalem the collection according to the commandment of Moses, the servant of the Lord, and of the congregation of Israel for the tabernacle of witness? For the sons of Athaliah, that wicked woman, hath broken up the house of God, and also all the dedicated things of the house of the Lord did they bestow upon Balaam. They've vandalized it and stolen everything out of it. Verse 8, And at the king's commandment, they made a chest. This same story is recorded in 2 Kings 12. And in 2 Kings, it says they made a chest and they bore a hole in the top of it. Just like our little box out there. A chest with a hole in the top of it. Verse 8, At the king's commandment they made a chest and set it without at the gate of the house of the Lord. And they made a proclamation through Judah and Jerusalem to bring in to the Lord the collection that Moses, the servant of God, laid upon Israel in the wilderness. And all the princes and all the people rejoiced and brought in and cast into the chest until they had made an end. This proclamation went out. The king says he's going to rebuild God's temple. And everybody was so thankful. They all rejoiced, and they all started bringing their money and casting it into the chest. Verse 11, Now it came to pass that at what time the chest was brought unto the king's office by the hand of the Levites, and when they saw that there was much money, the king's scribe and the high priest's officer came and emptied the chest and took it and carried it to his place again. Thus they did day by day and gathered money in abundance. And the king and Jehoiada gave it to such as did the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and hired masons and carpenters to repair the house of the Lord, and also such as wrought iron and brass to mend the house of the Lord. So the workmen wrought, and the work was perfected by them, and they set the house of God in his state and strengthened it. And when they had finished it, they brought the rest of the money before the king and Jehoiada, whereof were made vessels for the house of the Lord, even vessels to minister and to offer withal, and spoons and vessels of gold and silver, and they offered burnt offerings in the house of the Lord continually all the days of Jehoiada. What a blessing that little box is. Everybody was so thankful. They said the building is in shambles. Everything has been stolen. We're going to build it back so we can worship God. And they all rejoiced. It's the joy of God's people to cast into that box. It is the joy of God's people. I love putting my gift in that box just like you do. I love it. Now, after my gift goes in, I don't want to have anything to do with that box. I don't want to have anything to do with it. I don't want to see what's in it. I don't want to see who puts something in it. I definitely don't want to see how much they put. If I'm in the foyer and somebody starts walking to that box and reaching in their pocket, I don't want to see it. I want to leave the room. I don't want to have anything to do with it. Because of that, because that's how I feel about it. What our Lord did in our text absolutely fascinates me. It is fascinating to me. Go with me back now to our text, Mark 12. Mark 12, verse 41 says, "And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much." Our Lord got him a chair and sat it down right next to the chest. There were actually 13 of them. They had them divided out into different reasons for offerings. And he got him a chair, and he sat it down right against the treasury, and I can just see him leaning on it, watching people put their money in the box. I can just see him looking at their money and then looking at them right in the eyes. All right, now he knows everything about them. He knows everything about them. He knew everything they had at home, everything they owned. He knew whether or not they were tithing, right? 10% of their cattle, 10% of their corn, 10% of their cash, 10% of everything. He knew whether or not they were tithing. I'm sure most of them were. I'm sure most of them were. It does not say he rebuked them. You notice that? It does not say that he rebuked them. It just says he watched them. Verse 41, "And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much." That's great. They should. If they were given much, they ought to give much. Isn't that right? To whom much is given, much is required. That's what they did. We just read it. Many that were rich, they gave much. Our Lord didn't rebuke them. He didn't tell them they were doing anything wrong. But verse 42 says, "There came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and said unto them, Verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury, for all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Now, does that endear her to your heart? Does that endear her to your heart? Can't you see that poor woman? Two mites, that's all she had. That is so special. I believe that's inspiring. I believe it's absolutely inspiring. I believe it's something to love in a person. The others were not necessarily doing anything wrong. They were doing what was required of them, but this poor woman right here went so far above what was required of her. So far above. Not only did she give, and not only did she give of her substance, she gave of her lack. She gave of her lack. Two mites is a little bit more than a penny. That's all it is. It's the amount of money that would buy a day's worth of barley corn. All right? She needed all of it in order to have anything to eat that day. Instead of going to the market, she walks into the house of God. She walked up to that box, and she dropped both of them in. That's precious. God was standing there watching it all. That whole thing is precious. I have thought about this woman many times in my life. I've heard her story many times in my life. I wonder if that woman was a believer. I wonder if she was. Just because a person gives, that doesn't make that person a child of God. And I've wondered before, I wonder if she was a believer. I hope she was. I would love to talk to her in glory. I would love to know what happened after this, what the rest of her story was. It doesn't say. It's recorded here in Mark, it's recorded in Luke, and it doesn't say. But our Lord, seeing everything that she gave and recognizing her the way he did, he put her in his word. Why did he put her in here? Do you think he took care of her? I wonder if she had anything to eat that day. I would imagine that her story is pretty amazing. I really would. I would imagine that it is. But as I look at this woman, I think, how could she do that? How could she do that? To say that it was only two mites, it was still all she had, right? All you have is all you have. It doesn't matter if it's two mites or 2 million mites. You're giving it all. You're giving it all. You're leaving yourself with nothing. Absolutely nothing. The ones who were rich, they did what was required of them. They did what they were required to do. But it was still just a small piece of their abundance, wasn't it? They had this much, they gave this much. And they didn't feel it. It didn't hurt. But this woman gave every last thing she had. Verse 44 says, "For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, all of her living." All right, now that's what the scenario is. Have I preached the gospel to you yet? Not sure how long it's been. 15 minutes? Have I preached the gospel to you yet? That's a great story, isn't it? I mean, I really do love her. I think it's amazing what she did. I wasn't joking. I believe it's inspiring. She is endeared to my heart. I pray she is a believer. I do want to know what her story is. I want to be like that. The Lord pointed out, he commended her on her just deeply generous giving. He called his disciples over and he said, "I want you to look at this woman." He pointed out how much it pleased them. The Lord loveth a cheerful giver, doesn't he? He loves a cheerful giver. But that is not why this account was given. That is not why this account was given. He did not put this portion of Scripture in His Word to give His preachers an opportunity to preach on giving. You talk about night and day. Last week, it's almost like I was going to screw a piece of wood on top of our box, right? This week, I start the message out with, oh, let's give. Our Lord didn't put this here so we could talk about giving, to give us an opportunity to preach on giving. The king's heart is in the Lord's hand. Didn't we just say that? Just a minute ago in our Bible study, didn't we see how sovereign this God is? The king's heart is in the Lord's hand. All hearts are in the Lord's hands. And He moves every one of us like rivers of water, exactly what He wants us to do and where He wants us to go. And I promise you, if God wants His people to give, they will give. You don't have to stand up and beg a man to give. If God wants His people to give, they will give. Then why did He tell us this? He told us because this is the gospel if it has ever been told. This is the highest glory of the gospel if it has ever been told. In every portion of Scripture, there is a road that leads to Jesus Christ crucified. And by God's grace, we're about to find that road and get on it. All right? In this poor widow, our Lord is illustrating to us exactly how He saved sinners. Exactly how. He is illustrating what He did for us. He is letting us in on His mind, on His heart, on His will, on His work. Look with me over at Ephesians 1. I pray the Lord will let us truly enter into this. It's going to be brief, but let's truly enter into this. Ephesians 1. Verse 13 says, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. That's what He's telling us. He's saying, let me tell you the gospel of your salvation. That's why He called His disciples over there. Here He is, sitting here watching all this going on. He said, come here. Let me tell you the gospel of your salvation. All right, now, here it is. I want you to turn with me to Romans 11. Romans 11, and look with me at verse 36. For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. Everything goes to Him. Isn't that right? Everything goes to Him. Colossians 1 says, all things were created by Him and for Him. All things. All things. Turn with me to Psalm 50. Psalm 50, verse 7 says, hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or for thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he-goats out of thy fold, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beast of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Everything belongs to Him. Everything. It's all His. Oh, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Romans 2 tells us of the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering. Romans 11 tells us of the riches of His wisdom and knowledge. Ephesians 1 tells us of the riches of His inheritance. Ephesians 2 tells us of the riches of His grace. Ephesians 3 tells us of the riches of His glory. All of His riches are past finding out. The riches of our Lord could never be comprehended. Do you believe that? Never comprehended. Now turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Second Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says, "For you know the grace, the gift, the giving. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might be rich." He gave it all up. He gave it all up. I mean, He gave it all up. For our sakes, He became poor. It's all His. It all belongs to Him. For our sake, He became poor. He became dirt poor. Down to His last dime poor, and then He gave that away too. Could not our Lord have saved us in His riches? Think about this. Couldn't He have saved us in His abundance? Couldn't He just have given a small amount of what He has? Why didn't He pay what was owed out of a small portion of His great, indescribable abundance? The reason is because He wouldn't have felt it. It wouldn't have hurt. In order for Him to pay our price, He had to unite Himself to us. He had to be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, our lack, our want, our emptiness. So He gave it all up. He literally cast in all that He had. All of His living, His entire life. Down to His last drop of blood, He gave it all. I mean, He gave it all. And He did that we, through His poverty, might receive it all. Now, let me ask you this. Does that endear Him to your heart? He had it all. He cast it all. I mean, all is all. All that you have is all that you have. When you give all that you have, there's nothing left for you. There's nothing left for you. If you give it all, if you give it a piece of it, you have something left. But when you give it all, there's nothing left for you. That's precious. That's love. That's love. The sweetness of His liberality. What an unspeakable gift. I mean, unspeakable. And here's the question. How could He do that? How could He do that? He gave it all. Do you mean to tell me He gave it all? He gave it all. You know what it cost to redeem us? All of heaven and earth and everything. He gave it all. You know what that means for us? We have received it all. We've received it all. We are joint heirs of God. If Christ died, it is Christ that died. How shall God not with Him also freely give us all things? All things. Christ gave it all. We have received it all. People listen to the truth of salvation and the first thing they say is, that's not fair. Amen, brother. Boy, you've spoken truth. It was not a fair transaction. He gave it all. We received it all. Now, I don't know the outcome of this poor widow here in our text, but I do know the outcome of our Savior. Go with me over to John 17. John 17, verse 4, He said, I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest Me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Thou Me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. Christ gave His all to His people. So God the Father gave His all to Christ His Son. Because Christ did that, because Christ gave His all, God the Father gave His all. Gave it all. He gave Him the kingdom. He gave Him the crown. He gave Him the throne. He gave Him the judgment. He gave Him all the glory. He gave Him all the people. He gave Him everything. Everything. And all of heaven cries, Amen, so be it. So be it. He alone is worthy to receive it all. We wouldn't have it any other way. He alone is worthy. I'll close with Revelation 5. Revelation chapter 5. Because our Lord cast in more than they all. Because our Lord cast in all that He had, all of His living. Because He gave His body, His blood, His life. Revelation 5 verse 9 says, They sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing, and every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. Our God said, give and it shall be given unto you. Isn't that what he said? That's what Christ did, and that's what happened. He gave it all. He gave it all. Don't you love the word all? If it wasn't all, you'd wonder if he gave enough. Did he give enough? Did he give enough? Did he really give enough? What must I do to be saved? What is my standing before God? Is God satisfied with me? Is my debt paid? He gave it all. I mean, he gave it all. He gave it all. Therefore, all has been given to him. God has honored him, exalted him, and every soul in glory is standing there crying, Amen. Amen. That's what we're going to say for all of eternity. Amen. So be it. To God be the glory. All right, let's stand together.